Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out on the edge of the prairie. It's been cloudy. It's been chilly out there. Sun has come out now and then. And then on Thursday, this powerful wind came up. It was very dramatic. Some people lost phone service and weren't even aware of it at the time. Leaves blew off some of the trees completely, and big waves out on Lake Wobegon. Wally's pontoon boat came loose from the dock and drifted in 3-foot waves out onto the lake. Carl Krebsbach had to get in his 16-foot runabout with his son Carl Jr., and they had to go out and rescue this boat as it blew across the lake. Carl Jr., whose home, he graduated from college with a major in film studies in June, and he's been home working on demolition at the Sons of Canute Temple, where Carl Krebsbach is trying to rescue the building from years and years of water leaks. He called up his son, and they went out to bring this boat in. And Carl Jr. had to leap from the bow of the runabout onto the pontoon boat as it was pitching to and fro, and he managed to get the motor started. And the girl who was aboard the pontoon boat, a beautiful brown-haired girl with bare, freckled shoulders, in a sort of a green diaphanous gown. What was she doing out there? Dressed like that, she pressed her body to his as he maneuvered the boat through high waves back to shore. She held him close. He could feel her warm breath on his neck as she said, "You saved my life, and now I belong to you utterly." He brought the boat back to the dock, and he tied it up. And that's what happened on Thursday in Lake Wobegon, except for the girl. The girl was in his imagination, but the rest of it was all pretty good. Wally gave him $50, which if there had been a girl, he would have taken her out, and then maybe something else would have happened. But there was no girl, so he gave the money to his dad to pay for gas, which he's been using an awful lot of, Carl Jr. He's been driving down to the cities, down to see his friends who graduated in film studies. And one of them is waiting on table at a restaurant, and one of them is a flag man at a highway construction site, and one of them is a dishwasher, and they walk around and they talk about making movies, which they haven't done yet. And Carl Jr. isn't sure why he hasn't. He could. The one who's a flagman at construction sites, he has a wonderful high-definition little video camera, a little miniature thing, and editing pad and everything. It all fits into just a small suitcase. He could borrow this. He could borrow this from Sam, and he could make a movie. Why? Why doesn't he do this? He keeps asking himself that. Well, the answer is simple. It's college. It was the courses that he took and the degree that he got in film studies. They taught him what is great in film, and so you don't dare do anything of your own because you know it's not going to be that good. So there he is. And living in Lake Wobegon, of course, you never imagined that you could make a movie about this among these Lutherans. These are not dramatic people. These are not, you know, people outgoing. These are people who avoid eye contact. I mean, they'll look you in the forehead if they're in a really good mood. But they're not. They're not outgoing people. A lot of them regard, well, they regard putting paprika on potato salad is kind of show-offy, you know. These are people. I mean, when somebody walks into a Denny's with a shotgun and starts blowing people away, it's never a Lutheran. Lutherans would not want to draw that much attention to themselves. They just wouldn't want to be the object of all of that, all those people staring at them. They go into the hospital and they just go quietly. They don't want to cause the pastor any trouble whatsoever. They would rather die than call the pastor, and so they do. But in fact, Carl Jr., there are stories in Lake Wobegon. And if you had just looked around on the day of the big wind on Thursday, you would have seen some of them. You would have seen garbage can covers blown off garbage cans and rolling down. One of them crashed into the wall of the band room up at the high school, Miss Falconer was conducting her choir in a medley of songs from the Music Man, and she was trying to get them to put some more life into Shaboopy, Shaboopy, Shaboopy. And that garbage can lid was like a gong going off. It's like a bomb. And they really started to sing it then with some feeling. Pastor Liz was in her office at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church, and she was about to kill these two sisters who were sitting there in her office, who were ripping into each other, discussing the funeral for their mother, Mrs. Oftedal, and discussing whether their mother was religious or was she spiritual, and did they want a sermon, and did they want hymns, and so forth. And she was just about to crown them both. And this big wind came up, and it blew pumpkins off a hay wagon, and they went rolling down the street at high speed, and one of them crashed through her office window and crashed, smashed on the floor, and it burst apart, and there were seeds. That got their attention. There's a story there somewhere. There was a garage sale on Thursday evening up at the Jensen's house. It was Mrs. Jensen's idea because there were so many other garage sales scheduled for Saturday, and so she wanted to have this one on Thursday, and with the big wind blowing, practically nobody came. She and Mr. Jensen were there in the driveway with all of the stuff marked and all the prices on it and all their junk, and then she saw this guy walking up the driveway, a guy in a long tan jacket with a lot of pockets and a couple of cameras and what looked like film and a bottle of water. So you knew he wasn't from here. People in Lake Wobegon do not walk around with water. And we have fountains for that, for heaven's sake. She saw him walking up the driveway, and she ran out the side door and into the house to hide from him because she used to know him a long, long time ago. His name was Kurt, an old boyfriend. He lives in the cities. What is he doing here in Lake Wobegon? He walked into the garage and said hello to Mr. Jensen, whom he'd never met before. And there he saw a tent for sale for $15 that he, Kurt, and Mrs. Jensen had gone camping in the Grand Canyon many years ago, and which had beautiful memories for him. And he put down $15, and he took it. She watched out the upstairs window. She had gone upstairs to look for an envelope of old love letters that she had kept. Who knows why? She grabbed them, and she went down to the living room, and she started a fire in the fireplace, and she started to stuff these letters in one after the other. As Mr. Jensen came in the kitchen, "Open up a bottle of wine," she said. He said, "It's only 2 p.m. I don't care. Just open up a bottle of red wine. I just feel like having some red wine." She was trying to burn these letters and get them to burn. And there he stuck his head in. What are you burning?" He said, "Oh, it's just junk mail. Just never mind. Just go get me a bottle of red wine," she said. He opened up a bottle of red wine. She's trying to get these letters to burn. There was one letter sitting there, just sitting there, and it wouldn't burn. It had her maiden name there. It was addressed to her, and he walked in. She said, "Those aren't the right glasses. Get the red wine glasses." So he went back, and finally the letter burned. This was an adventure. There's a story there somewhere. The man with the pockets walked around town carrying the tent under his arm that he and Mrs. Jensen had made love in the Grand Canyon years before. Darlene was at the Chatterbox Cafe. This wind had driven to the back door. This coyote that she's been seeing every day has come to the back door, an odd coyote, not afraid of her at all. And when she's looked into his eyes, she has seen the eyes of her Uncle George. It is Uncle George, who died 26 years ago duck hunting in September. His retriever panicked at the ducks flopping around out in the water, so he dove in to retrieve the ducks, and he drowned out there in the lake. This coyote has his eyes, and this coyote loves tuna casserole the same way that Uncle George did. And this coyote loves coffee, and not coffee with milk. She's tried that, but coffee the way Uncle George liked it, black with a lot of sugar in it. She was with the coyote when she saw the man coming in and sitting down at the counter. She looked him over carefully. Darlene is ready to get married again. She's lonely. She'd like to be with somebody. She looks at strange men with a shopper's eye. He looked very, very presentable as he sat there. His hair was well done, skin good. Uncle George seems to be urging her to find romance. She gets that sense from the coyote. She walked in to serve the man at the counter, and she unbuttoned three buttons of her blouse. Two would be generous. Three is rather extravagant. She poured him some coffee. She asked him what he'd like. Well, he said, I'll look at the menu. Well, she said, the tuna hot dish is good. I made that today myself. Oh, so then she noticed he was reading Guns and Ammo magazine. She said, oh, you're a hunter. She said, I used to be a hunter. She said, lying. I used to be a hunter. I hunted ducks, but I don't do that anymore. He started to talk about going out to North Dakota. He'd gone out there hunting coyotes. And the moment she heard that, she buttoned up her blouse. She said, would you like some more coffee? Sure, he said. So she went to refill it. And she spit into the coffee. You should never irritate a waitress. You should never, ever irritate a waitress. She brought it back to him. What would you like? She said. She was very cool to him from then on. Just yes and no and thank you. And she added a few dollars to the check when she brought it. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.